This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Two of the nation's biggest tobacco companies announced a merger yesterday that's expected to reshape the tobacco industry. Winston-Salem-based Reynolds American is acquiring Greensboro-based Lorillard for $27 billion. But, you know, it's just one of many examples of consolidation and reorganization going on in North Carolina. The Triangle's largest homegrown drug company, Salix Pharmaceuticals, recently announced a merger with an Irish-based company. And this is following a national trend of businesses moving headquarters overseas for better tax deals. We're joined by Triangle Business Journal reporter Jason DeBruin to talk about these industry trends in the state. Welcome back, Jason. Good to have you here.
Thanks for being here.
Jason, you know, we talked about, we've had a day to digest the news of the Reynolds-Lorillard merger. Sure. And so the deal involves two British firms as well. And the promise is that their involvement, these other firms, would save some jobs in the triad that might otherwise be lost. Do we have a better idea if and how that would really come to pass?
Yeah, sure. So, of course, a lot of this still has to play out. I mean, there needs to be regulator approval kind of across the board on this. And as you mentioned, we're only a day into the announcement. But with these British companies being involved, there are some of the brands or some of the assets that Lorillard had that Reynolds will then turn around and sell off. So, for example, Imperial Tobacco is going to buy the blue cigarette. That's the e-cigarette that's gaining popularity. And so there's sort of a two-part factor here. And one of those is that antitrust regulators don't like whenever a lot of brands are sort of monopolized into one or two companies. And so the thinking here being that if they sell off some of the brands, then that'll appease regulators. But, you know, the benefit there is, too, is that if you bring in this outside company, this British company, hopefully that can save some of the jobs in the triad.
Because one of the things you would do is if you were just one company, you'd get rid of some of those brands, lose some of those workers, but allowing another brand in order to compete, keep those regulators at bay, they're going to want to keep producing that product.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, some of the jobs might get shifted around. But, of course, the nice thing is that, you know, Greensboro and Winston-Salem, I realize they're not right next door to each other, but they're relatively close. So, you know, even if you have to make the extra drive sort of across town, even if you don't lose your job, you know, even if you don't have to go too far, it's nice to not lose your
right.
job.
Right. Some of the consolidations might mean just moving and you don't have to go to
exactly.
London to
You're
do
right.
the
exactly.
job.
That's right.
Obviously, there will be some job. In any merger like this, there is some consolidation.
That's right. And, you know, the executives always like to say that you're bringing in a lot of synergies in a merger like this. And that synergies ends up being a euphemism for two people doing the same job. Mm-hmm. And so that means, unfortunately, one of them has to go. As with any merger, especially a major one like this, the executives always assure everyone know that we're not going to lay anybody off and that there are plenty of jobs to go around. But, you know, the reality is that when you have big major deals like this, there always ends up being some jobs that are just simply duplicated. And so they need to be eliminated.
Are there antitrust concerns here? I mean, this job has been structured to, as I say, appease those regulators. What does it look like to you?
Well, that was sort of done in foresight, or at least that's the speculation that it was done in foresight. You know, there's really nothing that we've heard from the antitrust regulators at this point, nothing out of Washington. Of course, they're going to review it. That's a weeks-long process. So sort of the conventional wisdom is that bringing in Imperial Tobacco, the British company, it was meant to, as you mentioned, appease those regulators. So that has yet to be seen. You know, of course, the regulators could come in and they could say, no, you haven't done enough. You need to sell off more brands. Or when you do the merger, you need to structure it a little bit differently. So that, you know, we don't know those answers yet and might not for months.
All right. We will wait and see. Well, another industry that's going through some reorganization is the pharmaceutical industry, also very important to North Carolina. And Raleigh's Salix Pharmaceuticals is following a national trend, according to some reporting that you've been doing, Jason. It's called inversion, and that's moving headquarters overseas for better tax deals. Can
you
explain that?
That's absolutely right. And this is something that's really just popped up in the past few months with some more frequency. And it seems to be happening in the pharmaceutical industry more than anything. And essentially what you have is you have a company that's based in the United States somewhere. They target a company that's based overseas, typically in Europe, and they decide to go through some sort of an acquisition merger process whereby the final company then is no longer headquartered in the United States, but it's headquartered somewhere in Europe. And one of the major benefits here is that you're not paying the higher United States corporate tax, but you end up paying a lower corporate tax in whatever country you choose to be in Europe. It seems like a lot of companies are targeting Ireland for their incredibly low corporate tax, or at least at this time. And yes, that process is called inversion. And Salix Pharmaceuticals, which was actually born here in Raleigh, they were a small drug developer years ago and hit a few wins and have now grown to a more than a billion-dollar company. And so it's a good Raleigh success story. But we're now seeing at least their headquarters officially move overseas. Now, you know, what's interesting is everybody's still going to stay here. I mean, all the executives, all the workers, they're still going to have their buildings up in North Raleigh, but they are going to be officially incorporated overseas, and that's done largely for these tax savings.
So we don't really see those so-called synergies in this case. There are two really separate companies with their separate specialties, are they?
That's absolutely right, yeah. And so Salix gained a drug that so a month ago or a few months ago, Salix acquired another company called Santaris, and Santaris had a deal over this other drug with Cosmo Technologies, which is the company that Salix merged with. So there was a bit of a benefit there since they already had a relationship over this other drug. But yes, by and large, they are two separate companies that had two separate drugs and will, you know, largely still have their separate entities on either side of the pond, even if they are now officially one company.
Let's take a deeper look at this maneuver to save taxes, good for shareholders. But what does it mean? I suspect that this kind of deal draws some criticism from at least some quarters, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, our own editor, Sugata Mukherjee, he wrote an editorial just last week that was criticizing the move. You know, Carolyn Logan, who's the CEO for Salix, she estimated that their effective corporate tax rate would decrease from something in the upper 30% range to something in the lower 20% range, which, you know, that's big savings, no question about it. But you also have to look at these pharmaceutical companies, they do benefit largely from the United States government. You know, on the front end, the NIH makes in the neighborhood of $50 billion worth of grants each year that go to universities and even some drug developers to look for new therapies and target new diseases. Then on the back end, of course, through Medicare and Medicaid, the government buys a lot of drugs. So, you know, a lot of the critics are saying, hey, you pharmaceutical industry, you're benefiting largely off the United States government and the taxpayer, but then you want to turn around and try to dodge those taxes as much as possible. So this practice of inversion certainly has a lot of critics.
We're talking about the changing business environment in North Carolina on the State of Things. Jason DeBruin of the Triangle Business Journal is my guest. Does this have an impact on state taxes as well?
In the same way that it impacts corporate tax rates in North Carolina as much as it does at the federal level. So it a little bit to a smaller scale, certainly. But absolutely, it does as well.
Apropos of those criticisms, again, you're locating in RTP because of the synergies of the academic institutions, state-funded, the highways that get you here, the sewers that take out your waste. I mean, all those things that taxes go to pay for are things that you don't. So if you lower your taxes, the question then becomes whether or not we're looking at a trend that you have all tracked already, mostly in the pharmaceutical industry. Why so?
So the pharmaceutical industry is a good target for a couple of different reasons. Number one, these companies are already operating on a near worldwide basis, right? I mean, you have drugs that you develop that can be sold in America, but just as easily sold in Europe. I mean, obviously, there's very similar patient populations. And then not to mention in the emerging markets in other parts of the world as well. So you definitely want to expand your business. So therefore, these pharmaceutical companies already operate on a very global scale. Second point to make is that you have a lot of these major pharmaceutical companies that are already headquartered in Europe. So if you're an American company and you want to try this inversion process or set up a corporate headquarters elsewhere, if you just out of the blue want to move your corporate headquarters, that's far more difficult than if you, say, complete this merger acquisition process with an established company in another country. Then you know, the process is much easier then. So with there being so many good targets, so many good pharmaceutical companies that are already headquartered in Europe, it seems to make it a little bit more easily done in the pharmaceutical industry.
I wonder now, with the global economy, and obviously that with the ease with which capital can fly borders, and it's much more difficult for us people and workers to do the same, are nations, I mean, are regulators beginning to look at new ways to write rules in terms of you taxing infrastructure, the stuff you have here, rather than simply the nominal headquarters of your company?
Yeah, as with everything, the police or the regulators seem to be a little bit behind the times. It's sort of the I don't want to say the thieves, but the thieves are sort of always ahead of the police, if you will. And that's definitely the case here. You know, people argue that we've been calling for tax reform for years, and obviously that's a tired bell. But at this point, there really doesn't seem to be anything that regulators in Congress are looking at to really clamp down on some of this. So unless they come up with some new and innovative ways to tax these pharmaceutical companies, it's going to continue to happen. And let me tell you, the biggest United States-based pharmaceutical company is Pfizer. You might remember maybe 2 months ago there was a big dust-up where they were trying to acquire AstraZeneca. Certainly there are some benefits just from a business standpoint, but there again, that would have been an example of a United States company going through this inversion process and then having its headquarters overseas. So there's a bit of a timeout period that they have before they can make another bid for AstraZeneca. But if this does happen and Pfizer does acquire AstraZeneca or go through some sort of a merger process, that would then be the largest United States pharmaceutical company that would then move overseas. So that could be a pretty big blow.
Jason, always great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jason DeBruin is a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. Just ahead, a new documentary series that tells the story of a small-town soccer team grappling with immigration issues. You'll hear it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.